From the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
And I'm recording my third podcast this week. So I'm Barry.
Busy, busy man.
We still got another one to record. So
I know. But we're going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming here.
Yes.
And do some theme park talk because although it's been kind of slow the last couple of weeks, we finally got some meat on the bones here.
Yeah.
Some stuff to dive into. So without holding off, we're going to dive right into some new tidbits of information about Hagrid's magical creature motorbike adventure.
Yay, I gotta say that slow. You said it.
I have to slow myself down when I say it. So Universal kind of, you know, as we're getting closer and closer here, what, we're 2 weeks, 3 weeks out?
3 weeks, I think.
About 3 weeks, yeah. Universal kind of pushed out some more information about Hagrid's. I'm just gonna call it Hagrid's now since I said it once.
Yes.
And some of the stuff we kind of already knew, but they announced more details about kind of the coaster aspect, as well as they released some new video, our first POV footage of the coaster portions of the attraction. So some of the new details, they mentioned the vertical drop that'll is rumored to be, which they haven't shown yet, the I keep forgetting the name of that thing. I'm terrible.
The
bush thing that squeezes you, that crushes you.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember.
Yeah, anyways, that's going to feature a vertical drop of 17 feet, and this got coaster enthusiasts up in a frenzy because Universal called it the first
free fall.
Of any coaster in the United States. And so all the hardcore coaster enthusiast people were giving Universal a hard time, like, hey, haven't you heard of Verbolten at Busch Gardens Williamsburg? And I think it was the guy that writes for the Orlando Sentinel. He reached out to Universal, and apparently Verbolten is an elevator system that pulls you down. This apparently is going to be a free fall.
Yes.
So take it for what you will. They mentioned that. They announced that Hagrid's will be the longest coaster in Florida at a total length of 5,053 feet. So it's going to be a long ride.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's, but you know, considering the size of the track, you know, you're having some dark ride portions of it. You know, it's going to be definitely a little bit longer than your average coaster.
Yeah. And then I think they had mentioned this before. It was announced, but they kind of got into a little more detail about guests will be able to ride in the sidecar, or on the motorbike itself, and each one's going to kind of provide a different viewing experience. So,
As you know, there will be 7 launches, which is the most of any coaster in the world. I don't think we thought that there were going to be that many launches in this ride, but I'm wondering if they're counting like all the different show stops too. So I guess technically you're getting launched out of each.
Yeah, whenever you stop for like a scene, you'll probably, at least the majority of them, you're going to be launched out of the area.
Yeah.
They're probably counting those two.
And of course, the signature element, one of the signature elements we knew of was the 65-foot, 70-degree angle hill that you'll go up and then you'll go backwards on.
Yeah, they finally kind of got into more detail about that, the big spire part that you're going to launch up and you're going to kind of stall out and then go backwards into the Devil's Snare. See, it just came to me.
There you go.
And you're going to go backwards around the turn into what apparently, allegedly, is going to be the Devil's Snare portion of the attraction, which Universal's been pretty tight-lipped on. They haven't mentioned anything about that, I don't think.
And I think the big thing they also announced is that there will be a pre-show, which was something Dragons did not have. It just, you know, had the queue you walk through, where you'll encounter Arthur Weasley, Hagrid, and his loyal dog, Fang. I'm wondering if that's going to use the same type of...
the screen with the projection on it, person. Yeah. Yeah.
The Pepper's ghost effect.
Well, yeah.
The more refined version of the Pepper's ghost effect.
Yeah.
For that part, I would assume.
I've been very curious as to what the queue is going to be like, because, you know, when it was... They kept the queue building there from Dueling Dragons, Dragon Challenge, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So I was very curious to see what they were going to do with the queue, because when it went from Dueling Dragons to Dragon Challenge, when Potter took over, they really dumbed down that queue line. They got rid of all the skulls. They got rid of all the really cool theming and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I mean, the original Dueling Dragons queue was one of the coolest, like, themed out queues.
It really was. I loved the Dragons queue. So now it seems like they're going to kind of... I don't know if they're going to keep the same pattern, like the areas you're going to walk, or if they knocked out walls and they made it shorter, or I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what they do with the queue line. But yeah, it looks like there's going to be a lot more theming with this new queue line for Hagrid. So I'm pretty excited to see what comes out of it. So,
and we will find out June 13th.
Yeah.
Or maybe earlier if there's some...
technical rehearsals.
Yeah. As Universal likes to call them.
Yeah, not soft openings. They call them technical
rehearsals.
And of course we will be there for those.
Yes.
Also keeping in Universal, we got another Halloween Horror Nights announcement. We're going to kind of move on to talk about this really quick.
Yes, our second original house, our fourth announced house overall out of allegedly 10.
Yeah, and this is, like Barry just mentioned, this is the second original house for this year. It's called Depths of Fear.
Yes.
And it sounds like it's a pretty interesting concept. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, you're supposedly going to be... I guess they say transported, but I'm assuming you're trapped in a deep sea mining company, and these parasites called mouth brooders who spew their acidic flesh eating eggs upon unsuspecting humans, turning them into crazed hosts. So
we're gonna be mouth breathers and mouth brooders.
Yeah. So
at Horror Nights this year.
The infected are driven to madness, and guests will try to escape, but as the pressure begins to build, implosion awaits. And will they make it out of alive or fall deep into the watery grave? So I'm going to be interested to see if there's any real water effects in this thing, besides, like, spritzing you with water.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to... back in the... I can't remember what year Halloween Horror Nights it was. I would need a Halloween Horror Nights... I should be one, but I'm not, because I've been going since mid-90s. But there was maybe you know what it was, the haunted house that was, like, loosely themed after it was the Titanic or something like that. Do you remember that house? It was based on, like, a Titanic ship, like, sinking, or like a ocean liner sinking.
Halloween Horror Nights 8... I believe
that could have been it.
I
want to say it's like the Fritanic.
I think it's the SS Fritanic.
Yeah. That kind of reminded me of this, because there were...
Yes, SS Fritanic Fear in First Class.
Yeah.
And then there's another one called SS Fritanic Carnage Crew.
What year was that one?
I don't know. I'm trying to find that out.
Yeah.
Now.
But anyways, whatever one it was, I vividly remember one of them having a very underwater theme, because the ship was sinking and there was lots of, like, creaking, and so I kind of imagine this house being something like that, with a lot of water effects and, you know, things like that. So,
yeah, it was Horror Nights 8 Primal Scream. It was in the Earthquake queue. The house was actually split into two parts. The first one was called SS Fritanic Carnage Crew, and the other one was called Fear in First Class.
So. Yeah, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember one of them vividly. Like,
yeah, I guess it was like some weird like two-part house or something. So
yeah, it was really bizarre, but it was a really cool house, and for some reason I remember it. But also this Depths of Fear house kind of is giving me a Seeds of Extinction vibe, very close quarters.
Yeah.
Just the little bit of information we got, I kind of got that vibe from it, you know, very close quarters, and utilizing camouflage and that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited. You know, as I've said years past, especially on this podcast, I'm a huge fan of the originals.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this one turns out.
Yeah. So, I mean, so far with the original houses, we've got like a sequel, and then we've got a brand new concept so far for the two originals that have been announced so far. And hey, it's not even June yet. We've already got four houses. So
yeah, somebody mentioned that on Twitter. I was like, are we usually not four houses deep by mid late May? I don't keep track of the timelines.
Yeah, I don't either. But it does seem like a lot for so far.
Yeah. And then of course we got Stranger Things as the other one. And what am I missing? What was the other one?
How are we forgetting?
I know. We're both drained. It's been a busy week. Lay low on us, people. Don't.
Yeah. It's another house. Go to thrillgeek.com. You'll find it. Go to our Halloween Horror Nights guy. Actually, it's like...
Thrillgeek.com/HHN. Monsters. Universal Monsters.
Yes. How did we forget that one? The thing we like complain about every year. Why don't we get a Monsters house? And we just...
We're fired. Let's just end this podcast like, right now.
Forgot about Monsters. So Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, let's move on to something a little more cheerful. The opposite holiday. We're going to go over to Disney, talk about Animal Kingdom, because they announced, yesterday, was it?
Yeah, Christmas is coming back to Animal Kingdom.
No Jammin' Jungle Parade, unfortunately.
No.
But I really like the looks and sounds of these Christmas festivities that they're doing throughout the entire park. Like, it's not going to be, you know, little Christmas decorations here or there. For the most part, the whole park is getting some Christmas decorations and even a few new experiences.
Yeah, I mean, for years, basically, Christmas time at Animal Kingdom was basically the tree out front. And like you said, we used to have the jingle jamming, whatever.
Mickey's parade, Jammin' Jungle Parade.
Where they basically added a Christmas tinge soundtrack and threw decorations on Jammin' Jungle Parade. So, you know, it looks like they finally realized, hey, maybe we should bring some more Christmas stuff to Animal Kingdom. So, I mean, it looks like, you know, all the major, you know, Discovery Island, Africa, and Asia and Dinoland are all getting decorations, which I don't think they've had any much in the way of Christmas decorations before.
Not that I can remember.
Besides, like, I think maybe the occasionally themed tree or something, but I don't really recall any like major decorations before. So it's you're getting all that. I mean, most of this is going to be on Discovery Island, where there's going to be rooftop luminaries and bird lanterns. And so it's like at night, you know, you'll see the decorations during the day, but in Discovery Island, but at night they're all lit up.
Yeah.
And there's going to be Discovery Island springs to life with a holiday gathering of winter animals. Like life-size artisan-sculpted puppets that will interact with the guests. And there'll be musicians, so it'll create a festive atmosphere. So it definitely looks really unique based on the concept art we have on ThrillGeek.com. Of course, and there'll be holiday Tree of Life Awakenings.
Yeah, and then also in Asia, they're bringing back the Diwali thing or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Which is loosely based on Christmas.
It's a holiday festival of lights in India.
Yeah.
So they'll be glowing flowers, lanterns to illuminate the square. And I guess there'll be some performances in that area in the illuminated square between the Anandpur Theater and the Waterfront Stage, and home to authentic cultural performances. So I guess they will have some musicians and other things, other performers out for that.
And then
Harambe.
I was kind of skimming over the Harambe thing. That sounds really cool. Like, it'll be a really kind of African party kind of atmosphere, which is always great in that area right there by the safari.
Yeah, I mean,
so it'll be really cool to see that all decked
out. The performers there, the shows there are always so much fun.
They are.
And apparently they're sort of going to get holiday-inspired enhancement, including costume additions and new music that they'll perform just for the holidays. And the holidays will even reach Pandora, where apparently there'll be a holiday display at Pongu Pongu of kitschy holiday decor. So I'm guessing maybe a tree. I don't know.
There's going to be one little tree in the middle of the...
Yeah.
In the middle of Pongu Pongu, and they're going to call it a day. I'm really excited, you know. Disney's really focused, at least the last couple years, on Hollywood Studios with Christmas.
Yeah.
So it seems like this year they're kind of switching over to Animal Kingdom.
And it's much needed. Animal Kingdom, like I said, has always been on sort of the short end for the holidays. And you know, after, you know, we know this as being locals here, you know, for years we kept losing one holiday thing after another.
Yeah.
And it really feels like Disney's realized we need to bring back more and add new stuff, and they did a lot of that in Hollywood Studios. You know, they've added more to the Epcot holiday celebration, and now they're giving you even another more reasons to go to Animal Kingdom for the holidays too. So it's all that, and you know, Donald's Dino Bash is still going to continue, and it's going to get some holiday decorations, and the dance party for the holidays is going to be called the Holiday Hoopla Dance Party with Chip and Dale. So,
yeah, and all that kicks off November 8th at Animal Kingdom. So I'll be excited to get over there and check it out. But I don't want to worry about Christmas right now because Halloween is my top priority.
Yeah, obviously Disney always announces this stuff way in advance, and
yeah, you know, I get it.
And, you know, our priority for Animal Kingdom is the new stuff that kicks off this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and the new Lion King, Tree of Life Awakenings, and the new version of Rivers of Light, and you know, this summer is going to be all about the Lion King at Animal Kingdom, so.
Yeah, and Cheryl, my wife, she can't be anymore. She saw the... she saw the food that was announced today, for all the Lion King food. So
yeah, we have an article for that on ThrillGeek.com of all the Lion King food. There's a couple things on there that Dole Whip with the watermelon coconut flavoring. I might
dive into one of those.
Yeah, because you know I'll be at Animal Kingdom this weekend to bring you guys all the latest stuff with all the new additions. So I might have to break down and try that Dole Whip. So
all right, let's talk about Galaxy's Edge, because it seems like every day now with cast member previews going on now and all these different previews going on.
Yeah.
New information is coming out in, you know, trickles, and we got a couple of pieces of information that we wanted to share with everybody about pricing and just how much souvenirs, especially the really cool ones like the droids and the lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out earlier this week that the Build Your Own Lightsaber experience is going to be $199.
As in $199. Yeah,
not $1.99. 99 cents.
For those of you who've complained about the price of wands at Universal.
Yeah. And we have all the details up on the website of just exactly what's going to go step by step. It's going to be a process of you building your lightsaber. I think Ryan actually got that article up. So you can go check that out on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's this is a high end. It's not like the build your lightsaber that they've had in the Star Tours exit gift shop, and like at the Star Wars store in Disney Springs. This is a high end build your own lightsaber, and I can see why it's so expensive. I mean, it's $200 is a lot. I mean, and I'm wondering the durability of the lightsabers too, because like being at MegaCon this past weekend, you had those combat sabers, and you've seen these, Clint.
Yeah,
those are like $100-$200.
I know. So I know some of my hardcore Star Wars friends. They have custom built legit, probably better than these things you're going to be able to get in Galaxy's Edge lightsabers. Yeah. And those things cost upwards of a couple $100 too.
Yeah.
But with the Galaxy's Edge one, you're going to basically get a box of parts, and it's going to include one hilt, four sleeves. You're going to be able to pick two.
Yeah.
It's going to come with two emitters, and you're going to be able to pick one of those, two pommel caps. I don't know what the heck that is. And you're gonna be able to pick one of those.
I think that's the cap for the end.
I was gonna say, is that like the cap on the bottom? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
And then you're gonna get two sets of activation plates and switches. You're gonna be able to pick one of those.
Yeah.
And it comes with a carrying case. I'm just kind of looking at the fine print here. They are non-refundable.
Yeah.
And they're not eligible for any discounts.
Yeah, that's so, the no discount. We'll see how long the no discount part lasts.
Yeah. So there, that's kind of your... and again, we have that up on ThrillGeek.com. I also copied that information over to our Galaxy's Edge Quick Start Guide, which can be found at ThrillGeek.com/Galaxy's Edge. Be sure to go there, check it out. I'm updating it. Like I said, we're getting new little details every day.
And I mean...
slipping in and updating little things. So
yeah, you got that the build your own droid is going to be what was it, $99.99.
Yeah, but I saw on Twitter today that apparently the specific DJ one is gonna be $150.
Wow.
So I saw it briefly on Twitter. Couldn't confirm it. But there's been a lot of video on Twitter of the DJ one.
It's going to be pricey.
Yeah. But the regular one is going to be $99, where you're going to be able to build your own astromech droid.
Yeah.
But I saw somewhere, and I unfortunately I couldn't confirm it, that the one that looks like DJ from Star Tours, and well, now he's going to be in
Uga's Cantina.
The Cantina is going to be $150, which he looks really cool. There's a video of him on Twitter. I guess people are already buying him.
Yeah, no, he looks pretty cool.
He looks pretty cool, and they did a good job with the way he looks.
Yeah, so you got that, and the milk, the blue and the green milk, apparently, at least in Disneyland, is going to be $7.99.
Yeah, there was I guess somebody posted a picture of the receipt from Galaxy's Edge online.
Yeah.
And it confirmed that the pricing for blue, the milk, the blue and the green milk, is going to be $7.99 for a glass. Or I haven't seen any information about how big the cups are or anything like that yet. So,
which is, I can't imagine what the alcoholic drinks are going to be.
Oh, I'm guessing probably double that. $14, $15.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some people talk about the alcoholic drinks. Well, talk about, I guess the only thing I've really heard any complaints about is the drinks with boba in it. And they weren't really a fan, especially because you don't get like the boba type straw, which is like the thing most people like about boba. Having boba in your drink is
and that's like the little beads, right? Or the drink you get in Avatar, Pandora.
Yeah, and the same the one drink they have in Wizarding World too, the fishy green ale
or whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah. So it's I could see where, like, you know, if you're getting a drink with boba in it, you sort of want the type of straw, the boba type straw that.
And the only difference with that straw is it's just bigger, right?
Yeah, it's a wider
straw. It's a wider, yeah.
It's like a smoothie straw.
Yeah, like you get with like the smoothies and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, that's like I said, we're with the previews now. We're slowly getting more details with pricing and stuff. And the interesting thing was, we'll see when ours opens, you know, if what adjustments have been made since then. So it's.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they usually I've never sat down and done the comparison how pricing is, because, you know, everything's more expensive over in California.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll see any adjustments versus, you know, in that perspective of Disneyland versus Disney World. I'm not expecting things to be a lot cheaper here.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see with ours opening up in August, if they make any adjustments, tweaking, you know, if they tweak the pricing or anything.
Yeah.
And we also got more information about how the Play Disney Parks app is going to integrate into Galaxy's Edge. And a lot of this stuff sounds really cool. I think this may finally, you know, all the other things that they've announced, I've never downloaded the Play Disney Parks app.
I have it on my phone, but I don't think I've
ever used it.
Maybe once I've used it. And of course, in our case, it's like we're watching our batteries as it is when we're in the parks.
We're snapping pictures and taking video and draining our batteries. So,
yeah. So, I mean, one of the cool things we already sort of knew is like how, like when the Play Disney Parks app is in Galaxy's Edge, it changes to like a different like design.
Yeah, it's going to have like a completely different interface on your phone, which it looks really cool.
Yeah, and you basically have tools where you can like hack, scan, translate, and tune to like, you know, translate different things, see inside cargo crates. Tuning feature will tap into and decrypt signals from antennas or communication devices. And a game that will take place throughout Star Wars Galaxy Edge is called Outpost Control, which will allow guests to choose to support either the Resistance or the Resistance in the First Order. Why they couldn't just call it the Rebellion again would have been, but whatever. You'll be able to support either side in the land, and the winners will find themselves rewarded with galactic credits. What that does, what you can do with that, who knows?
Yeah, the Outpost Control game sounded really cool. It almost sounded like it's going to be like a battle. I don't know if you know it. It's still out. It's a game for Android called Ingress.
Yeah.
Where you kind of control areas and stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of that. I'm hoping it's something like that, to where you have the dark side and you have the light side, you know, kind of, or the Resistance and the First Order kind of battling it out inside Black Spire Outpost for control.
Yeah, I mean, this is supposed to be part of the interactive elements that you are supposed to get it to experience when you're in Galaxy's Edge. Because we know there'll be like stormtroopers roaming, but there'll also be Resistance characters. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works once Galaxy's Edge is open.
And they also, we forgot to mention, there's going to be kind of an in-queue game for Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Yeah.
Which sounds really cool too. So. I'm excited. Like I said, this may actually finally get me to pull out my phone and actually play around with the Play Disney Parks app, because I've never even downloaded it. I just, you know, they have other stuff for like Splash Mountain and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't even know what other stuff they have.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different things, but yeah. So All this Galaxy's Edge stuff is up on our website, ThrillGeek.com. Like I said, the quick start guide is ThrillGeek.com/Galaxy's Edge. And then there's a, I don't even know how many Galaxy's Edge articles we've posted on that website.
But people love it. Hey,
but they're, yeah.
Every time we talk about Galaxy's Edge on the podcast, you know, it does really well. So people are, you know, everybody's excited about Galaxy's Edge. So
yeah, and we're May 31st, Disneyland.
Yeah, Ryan will be there. He's counting down the seconds, I'm sure, by now.
Yeah.
So he'll be there opening day with coverage in the morning. So
we'll
I'll have more details about that and kind of he's going to be doing and stuff. So
now let's move across the Pacific to everyone. Everybody knows my favorite place, Tokyo Disney Resort.
Your favorite place announced something.
Yeah, it announced. I realize that the Oriental Land Company is probably not purposely trolling the Disney company, but they basically announced the name of the new themed port coming to Tokyo Disney Sea, which we knew there was one coming that was going to have Peter Pan, Tangled, and Frozen in it, and it's going to be called Fantasy Springs. And basically, this is going to be Tokyo Disney Sea's Fantasyland. I mean, they have Mermaid Lagoon, which is really their smaller kiddie area. But this thing is, the concept art for this is nuts.
Yeah, when they announced it, I was scrolling through looking at the concept artwork, and it's just like these hills, mountains with waterfalls and hidden characters in them. You really have to kind of slowly scan through it. We have them all up on ThrillGeek.com, and there's Disney princesses kind of worked into the rock work and the waterfalls, and it's really a gorgeous expansion.
And this all the waterfalls and the rock work will come to life at night with special lighting that gives it almost a different look at night. But that's just the rock work, the water features. All of this will also include a brand new Disney hotel that's themed into the land. And then on top of that, you know, it was announced before there will be 4 attractions and 3 restaurants, you know, so it's
that's insane.
And 1 shop in Fantasy Springs, as well as the hotel.
And over here, we're getting Galaxy's Edge with 2 rides.
Yeah, with 2 rides.
And this is just insane. And this expansion.
Yeah, and I know at least one of these restaurants, I believe, is going to be a sit down restaurant, a full service restaurant. So
the hotel sounded really cool because it's going to have. Apparently, it's going to have views of this expansion from the hotel.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that makes Tokyo Disney Sea unique is the fact that it has the Hotel MiraCosta, which is basically built into the entrance of the park. So you actually that hotel has rooms with balconies and windows facing the park.
Yeah,
out into the park. So this one will also have. Rooms with that will face out into the park. So I mean this thing is gigantic. I mean Tokyo Disney Sea is already a huge park, and this is going to be a gigantic expansion to that park. I mean, this is on top of Soarin' already coming this year,
which by the way looks unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean it,
that video that they showed.
Yeah, if you've seen online the video and pictures of the Soarin' queue, it is nuts. I mean, the theming, which you know, if any of you guys who follow along when we went to Tokyo Disneyland last December, and you can also check them out on, you know, we've got our vlogs on YouTube. That Tokyo Disney Sea is the most beautiful park in the world. It's period, hands down. There's no other Disney park or almost any other theme park that is as beautiful as that park, as well themed as that park is. Is there's no part of that park that isn't themed. Everything you see in that park, including any show buildings, it's all hidden in theming. It's mind-boggling, and it's. This is just going to be a huge expansion to the park, and it doesn't open till 2022. So you still got a while. But you know, that's part of their expanding Tokyo Disney Resort. I mean, like I said, Soarin' is coming to Tokyo Disney Sea this year. Next year, they're getting their Fantasyland expansion with the Beauty and the Beast ride, and also the Tomorrowland expansion with the Big Hero 6 ride. So, you know, they're growing that park on top of like multiple hotels coming. So it's the place keeps getting bigger, and I mean, part of the reason is just how busy that place is, you know. So
yeah, and the total cost of this expansion is 250 billion yen, or roughly $2.2 billion.
Yeah.
So it's
that's to give you an idea of how expensive this how just gigantic this expansion is.
Yeah. So it looks great. One day I'll get there. I'm dying to get to Tokyo, as is the wife. So maybe this expansion in a couple years will be one reason for us to get out there.
Yeah, you have 4 years to save.
Yeah.
3 years to save up. So
I got 3 years to kick out my kids out of the house, but yeah. Unfortunately they're not going anywhere. So all right, I think we plowed through the theme park goodies, and real quick we're going to discuss the final Toy Story 4 trailer that we got earlier this week. And we got some new information, kind of new details about it. And we got my favorite part of the trailer was probably our closest look yet at Duke Kaboom.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves' character in Toy Story 4, which I'm pretty excited to see more of him in the film.
I love how they made him basically like a Canadian Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
And he's the same, like, if you look it up online, In the 70s, there was this guy, Evel Knievel, who jumped over buses and all kinds of crazy stuff, who was hugely popular. And there were toys. Mm-hmm. And it was like these motorcycle toys, because he would jump, you know, Greyhound buses with motorcycles that you would like wind up and then release. Like you would use this thing you would crank, turn the crank, and it would crank it up, and then you'd release it. And it would like, you know, there was like different play sets where it was like different jumps thing. And that's basically what Duke Kaboom is based on. So in Keanu Reeves' voice in him. So, you know, like I said, that was the most we've seen of him so far. And we got a little bit more detail of the plot got to see more of the rest of the characters. Cause you know, the other trailers really made it look like that they weren't going to be that much a part of the movie, but this new trailer seems like they're in the movie more than we thought they were going to be. So.
Yeah, we got a couple of pretty funny clips with Ducky and Bunny.
Yeah.
Which are obvious, which are voiced by
Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Keegan Michael Key and
Jordan Peele. Yeah. We got a couple of funny clips from that. And like you said, we got a little more information about the plot, about Forky. I'm more curious as to what, because, you know, we've seen the articles online discussing how emotional Tim Allen and Tom Hanks got at the end of this when they were recording the voiceover work for Buzz and Woody. Something is going to happen at the end of this movie that's going to be, very emotional. Yeah, heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean
and it looks like Bo Peep is going to have something to Bo Peep is going to have something to do with that.
Yeah, her character seems to be the wild card in this, cuz there's been a lot of back and forth about what she's there, you know, what her motivations are, you know. Because
Woody runs into her, they run into her.
Yeah.
In wherever this city where this carnival is.
And also the one thing I noticed in the trailer, it looked like there's a flashback in the trailer too. Because they showed like Bo Peep and her old, in her like original look.
Well, remember, I can't remember if it was the first trailer.
Yeah.
But we got a flashback with Andy. Remember everybody was weirded out about the updated Andy?
Yeah. So I'm guessing, yeah, we're gonna get a flashback at some point. So I'm excited. You know, it's Toy Story. Did Toy Story 3 really end it perfectly? But then on the other hand, since Toy Story 3, there's been a short and two specials.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's not like the story didn't, they didn't continue doing Toy Story stuff.
Yeah, and, I mean, and like I said, I think this, from all the, like I said again, all the articles we've seen, all the stuff, something's going to happen with Buzz and Woody. So maybe this is a wrap up for Buzz and Woody for good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I mean, it's Pixar. I mean, I can think of, out of all the movies Pixar has made, I would say there's like two that weren't great, and that was Cars 2 and The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, because so like you said, everybody was like, oh, we don't need Toy Story 4. Toy Story 3 wrapped it up so perfectly with Andy handing off all the toys to Bonnie.
But that was the end of Andy's story. They've continued, like I said, they've continued Bonnie's story in the shorts and the two specials they've had. So it's not like these characters haven't had their story continue. So
yeah, exactly. And Buzz and Woody are the centerpiece of Toy Story. Let's face it.
Yeah, and this looks like from what we know, this is going to be the last sequel out of Pixar for a little while, because I believe the next few movies out of them are all going to be like originals.
Yeah.
So I mean, they don't really have any sequels in development for anytime soon. So, you know, out of any studio, Pixar, I trust Pixar more than anybody else. So
I think that's kind of the way I am too. You know, Toy Story 3 was a perfect film with the way it ended and everything, and it wrapped it all up nice with a pretty bow. But I have faith in Pixar that if they're going to do another Toy Story film, they have a good reason to do it. So we'll find out when it hits theaters June 21st. I'm excited. I can't wait. So
yes, we're very excited.
Yeah. And I think that's it.
We got some MCU news.
before we go into that.
Yeah.
Slightly tied to Toy Story. Can we talk about the promo posters for Child's Play?
Oh, the Slinky Dog.
The Slinky Dog. Well, first it was the Woody themed one with his arm and his cowboy hat. Yeah. And now this week we got a Slinky Dog. Chucky's roasting like a Slinky Dog over a campfire.
Yeah, I mean, they're both coming out on the same day. Obviously, they're both targeted at different artists.
Yeah,
audiences. But hey, I mean, it gets attention to Child's Play. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, smart. It's smart marketing.
It really was too, because I saw those two posters everywhere.
Yeah.
So all right. Yeah. No, I had to mention that briefly, even though it's not Toy Story 4 directly related. I just those posters were clever marketing on who's putting out this toys. Who's putting out this Child's Play?
I think it's Universal.
Is it? Yeah. But anyways, it was very clever marketing on their end, because like you said, Toy Story 4 and the Child's Play reboot both come out on the same day. So anyways, all right. Marvel news. What do we got for Marvel goodies?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I think we've talked about here before, the Black Widow movie starts shooting at the end of August, beginning of September. You know, timeline has been the one issue that's been talked about this, and
oh, when the movie's going to take place.
When the movie's, you know, the talk has been, you know, set 2 years before the events of Iron Man, but recently it's also come out that this may take place after Captain America Civil War, but before Avengers Infinity War. So, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know if it's contradictory info. The description of the movie has been said it's an internationally set story centering on Natasha Romanoff, a spy assassin who grew up trained by KGB for breaking from their grasp and becoming an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers. So there seems to be some back and forth about exactly when Black Widow is going to be set. So
I at first thought it was going to be just a prequel, just kind of like an origin story. But then as I read more about it, I realized that, no, this is going to be plopped somewhere in between one of these previous movies. So,
yeah, so it's I guess we'll find out May of next year. But
which is really interesting, because I really liked her in Civil War.
Yeah.
She had some, Black Widow had some really cool scenes in Black Widow. In Civil War. So I hope maybe if that's true and it takes place.
Yeah, because we don't really know that whether or not they were all together. I can't imagine they weren't together the entire time. You know, that they may have been split up at different points during that. And I could see that, you know, her getting involved in something or, you know, but I could also see that thing happening before Iron Man too. So it's, and the other rumor is something in the movie will tie into some future MCU thing. So it's, you know, there's as usual, Marvel is very, you know, keeps things pretty tight lipped.
Interesting. So. Yeah, I haven't really read up on it a whole lot. I mean, I have seen periodic articles talking about the Black Widow film. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it.
Yep. So the other couple other Marvel thing tidbits. It was announced that, and I'm probably going to say this last name wrong. Kerry Scoglin will direct the 6-part The Falcon and the Winter Soldier miniseries. And that besides Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, Daniel Brühl, who played Zemo in Captain America Civil War, and Emily Van Camp, who, of course, is Peggy Carter's niece, will be in the series. So I don't know if that means Zemo will be the villain in the series, that he will have somehow escaped custody, or what. But, you know, this is a 6-episode limited miniseries that in like all these new Disney Plus and Marvel Studios series will all tie into the timeline. You know, they are considered part of the timeline. And
did they announce a release date for the Falcon and
August? I believe it's August of next year.
Okay.
It's supposed to start filming this fall. Yeah, the miniseries will air in August of 2020. And like I said, filming will start in the fall.
I'm very curious to see how the... I mean, obviously it's Marvel, so it's going to be really well done. But I'm very curious to see how the... what's the word I'm looking for?
Canon? Timeline.
Yeah, well, no, just how they're gonna feel, if that makes sense, compared to the movies, you know, how they're gonna
I imagine themselves. They're gonna spend some money.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, they're all part of canon, and I think it's also, since it feels like the MCU is going to be setting up a lot of new stuff, because, you know, we've discussed before, after Black Widow, the next movie is the Eternals, which is completely new. You know, this gives these other characters like Falcon, Winter Soldier, Wanda, Vision, Loki, and I believe even Hawkeye is supposed to have a show. It's going to give them something, you know, different stories to do concurrent with whatever's going on in the movies.
Yeah. And, you know, it'll be very interesting also to see with Marvel, kind of slightly off topic here, how all these new Marvel films coming up are, how people are going to, how the reception is going to be. Because, you know, we just wrapped up 10 years of films, but it was everybody knows Iron Man, everybody knows Hulk, everybody knows Thor.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Iron Man, not Hulk as much, but Iron Man, Thor were B-listers. I mean, people knew who Captain America was, but Captain America wasn't popular.
Yeah. I guess that kind of makes sense, but what I'm saying is everybody knew who they were.
Yeah.
This, what was the film that you just announced?
That's the next? The Eternals.
Nobody knows who the heck that is.
Yeah. Knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were either.
Yeah, that's true. I think Guardians would be the best comparison to this scenario. But anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's especially, I think one of the reasons why the Eternals, like, they, you know, one of the characters is going to be played by Angelina Jolie. So I feel like they went for at least one big casting.
Yeah.
Out of that one, because we talk about how big Chris Pratt is now, but when he got cast in Guardians, he wasn't as big.
Yeah.
As he is now. So so that'll be August 2020. And this other thing is a rumor: the WandaVision series that came out this week is allegedly going to be how they bring Vision back into the MCU. Because I mean, Vision in the comics has died, was killed before and has come back to life, and there's the whole thing of like how much of his memory and stuff did Shuri maybe back up or whatever when they were, in Infinity War. So yeah. Maybe a part of him is still around.
Hmm.
So I would imagine that's been the latest thing that sort of leaked out, is that this is going to be how they bring Vision back into the Marvel universe.
Interesting.
So that's it for pop culture news.
And I think that's it for us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's it for the pop culture stuff. We do have a bonus podcast where my wife, Sin, and I, we review the new live-action Aladdin. So be sure to check that out. Oh, and we have also the recap of MegaCon. Emily and I were both there this weekend. This past weekend, I was there all 4 days, which was insane.
Yeah, by the way, thank you for everything that you did, all the coverage and everything. That was, I didn't want to deal with the insanity that's MegaCon this year. So
you made Rachel Moore very sad.
I know. I really wanted to go and just hang out and see all the cosplay and everything. I couldn't muster up the oomph to do it. So
yeah, and like I, if you've listened to that podcast, or if you haven't, we hope you all enjoyed all our coverage. Like I said, we're gonna, in the future, we're trying to cover more cons, because obviously, we are theme parks and pop culture, and you guys seem to love the con coverage whenever we're at a con.
All of our MegaCon coverage did
MegaCon, really good. Yeah, who knew the one tweet that would blow up the most was the Gravity Falls cosplay tweet.
Saw that. I was like, what is going on?
Those Gravity Falls fans are very, very, very
hardcore.
Hardcore.
I kept seeing that tweet getting likes and likes and likes. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, no. We hope you guys enjoyed all our coverage on Twitter and Instagram. And like I said, it was a blast. Yeah, I'm still recovering from all that. So
it's a lot. Those conventions are just draining. They're fun, but they're draining.
It's fun. It's all about the experiences, but you are wiped out.
Yep.
After you're done with those. And if we, one of the things we've talked about is going next year, Atlanta, to Dragon Con, which is like one of the biggest conventions in the country. And that one's 5 days.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm not even thinking about that yet, but we'll have more con coverage. I know, I will be going to MetroCon in Tampa, which is in July. We will definitely be going to at least one day of Spooky Empire in Tampa in the fall. Unfortunately, it is the final week of Halloween Horror Nights, so we probably won't make it out there till Sunday. So
yeah, we'll have to figure that out. Unfortunately, Spooky's moving to Tampa. They couldn't, arrange for a venue here in Orlando. So this year they're moving to Tampa, so we'll have to figure that out as things get closer for that.
Yeah, and like we posted online, MegaCon 2020 will be on a different weekend. It'll be April 16th through the 19th. So
yeah, be sure to check out all those episodes and all of our other episodes. Speaking of which, our number one episode, our still number one episode, our interview with Ken Bretschneider. And I'm drawing a blank on he's gonna kill me if he listens to this.
Evermore.
Yeah, Evermore Park is our, I think either today or I saw it on Facebook, but either today or tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary of our Evermore Park episode. And I think they just announced the new summer event called Mythos. So maybe we'll have to get them on again, see if we can get them on again.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would definitely be cool to have them on again. And I'm saying may actually get out to that park this year. We'll see, possibly in October for their forgot what the Halloween event is called.
Yeah, I can't remember. It looks really cool, though. So,
but that would so be really cool. Fingers crossed. I may get out there so we can bring that to you guys later this year. So, but we got a lot of stuff coming up here. Like I said, with all that's going to be coming up on our social media at Thrill Geek on. At Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Like and follow our Facebook page. Like I said, we're going to have a bunch of coverage coming up here with the new additions coming to Animal Kingdom Memorial Day weekend. And then later the same week, we will have Galaxy's Edge from Disneyland. And I feel like we're going to have a couple of guests coming up hopefully soon on the podcasts. To talk Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, definitely.
Experience.
We got lots of stuff. You know, we've been doing a lot of pop culture stuff, but you know, our core audience are all of you theme park people. So we're not going to be shying away from that at all. If anything, we're going to be picking back up here because it's been quiet for a little bit.
Yeah.
But things are going to start kicking back into gear here with Galaxy's Edge opening and Hagrid's in a few weeks. So. We'll have lots more theme park coverage coming. So,
and of course, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube page. All the Thrill Geek lives we did at MegaCon, where we took you around the show floor, Artist Alley, Anime Alley, the Community Zone, the Cosplay Corner. We took you all over the show floor. There's four different Thrill Geek lives. Check them out from MegaCon. And like I said, we're going to have a bunch of new. We got all kinds of stuff coming to YouTube within the next couple of weeks with all the new Galaxy's Edge stuff and Hagrid and everything. So youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Remember, ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Everything we talked about theme park-wise tonight, it's all in articles on ThrillGeek.com. And, of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available wherever you can get a podcast. And all this is brought to you by ThrillGeek.com/travel. Thrill Geek Travel. So go to ThrillGeek.com/travel. Fill out the online form. It doesn't cost you anything. Our friends at MEI Travel will give you a quote to, you want to go to Walt Disney World? You want to go to Universal? You want to go to Disneyland? You want to go on a cruise? ThrillGeek.com/travel. Get your free online quote. It doesn't cost you anything to use a travel agent. They can find you the best deals, save you a lot of time and money. ThrillGeek.com/travel.
Thank you for that, Barry. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you guys again here shortly with some other episode, pop culture, something. We'll see you guys again next time.
Bye. See you in the parks.